tonight we're going to talk about what marriage is and what marriage isn't. And chapter 2 of Married for God talks about this a little bit. I like Ash's book a lot. I think it's really helpful. But let me just mention, this is something I like to talk about in premarital counseling, and whenever I'm talking to couples is, and maybe this is just like a good life lesson, is that so much of our satisfaction and happiness in life is rooted in our expectations. Mm-hmm. I mean, like what are your expectations for things? And I am very much a high expectations type of person. And we have children that have inherited this from me. So, you know, if you have a kid that's like this, and I'm like this too, if like a kid's like, hey, do you think there's a possibility that we could go get ice cream tomorrow night? And I'm like, yeah, there's a possibility. Well, that turns into we are getting ice cream no matter what. And then Billy shows up, and they get really excited, and then the night comes, and I'm like, something's happened, or what, you know what I mean? Like, I had to write a check to this guy for his bumper, and I just don't know that we should do that for the budget right now, or whatever. And it's like the high set, you know what I mean? Like, the expectations just are like, it's just crushing. And I'm not trying to pick on my kids, because I'm like that too. I mean, I'm very much like that. I do not deal with disappointment well, naturally. I'm very much like, look forward to a good time all the time. And if it turns out we're not having a good time, I'm like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. But also, though, like if you think about that same child in the same night, same week, they had not ever asked if we were going out. If like Whitney just like opened up the freezer and was like, man, we got some Bluebell in here. Who wants ice cream? They would have been like, this is the best diet ever, you know? Like, but what's the difference? It's just the set of expectations you have. You know, one night they're disappointed by Bluebell or not getting ice cream, and another night they're thrilled because they have a different set of expectations. And so I think a lot of marriages go south, and I think a lot of problems and conflict develop in marriages because of what our sets of expectations are as we enter into the marriage. And so I want to start with what marriage is not, and talk through some things marriage isn't, and then we'll talk about what marriage is. And maybe, I think for all of us, this can help adjust some of our expectations. And Whitney and I are going to sprinkle in a little bit of just our own experiences with managing our own expectations. So, I mean, let me just say, like, one thing that I think, just to kick it off, I might be wrong about this, but, like, over the years, I mean, I think Whitney, it's hard marrying a pastor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of come in with a set of expectations about what being married to a pastor is going to be like, and then it's pretty quick you realize pastors are pretty normal people most of the time, you know, and maybe not as godly. And I mean, for me, even coming in feeling, which is a real spiritually mature thought, I always feel like once you start thinking you're spiritually mature, that's probably a sign you're not as spiritually mature as you think. And so I can just remember thinking that like a close walk with the Lord and an understanding of theology and things like that were going to help me out a lot in marriage. And man, that's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You know, I mean, it's not like it doesn't matter. It's helpful at some level. We need to have some right understanding of God's word and everything else to function in life. But I'll just say this, being theologically knowledgeable does not mean you're spiritually mature. And man, I can show you some examples of that, myself included at different times.
So, I think you also, yeah. You may talk about this, I think you also came into our marriage like kind of expecting to be like the hero.
Yeah, I come into everything like
that. And
look at where we're sitting, right? I mean, you know, like I kind of rolled in here like, you know, it takes a certain amount of pride. I mean, no kidding. It takes a certain amount of, like, pride and weird stuff going on in here. I mean, it's not all weird stuff. Some of it's good stuff, too.
Yeah.
But just to come to a church and feel like, man, we can see this turn around, baby. This is, we're going to see it happen. That it takes some, any kind of leadership like that, I think it takes something.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But, yeah, I think I had an inordinate amount of that. Okay, what isn't marriage? This is not a cure for loneliness. It's not just purely a cure for loneliness. Married people are lonely sometimes. It happens. And people can feel alone in their marriages. And God's primary function for giving us marriage is not as a cure for loneliness. I won't rehash all the things that Ash talks about in the book as to why that's a misreading of the Genesis text, to see it just merely as a cure for loneliness. But I do really think that one of the things that, one problem we have in our society is the romanticization of everything. Everything is, we live in a very romantic culture. And I don't mean that just in the like Pepe Le Pew sense. I mean that, felt like a pretty good one. Anyway, all right, so I was just checking with Whitney to make sure that wasn't as big of a whiff as it felt like in the room. Have I used that one? I felt fresh. Yeah. All right. I don't mean that just like in the like, we see, I mean that through the like classical philosophical romantic sense that we view everything as like we're the center of it. And that there's a song lyric is like, I heard one time that was something like, if you have to work this hard, it ain't working. And that's the kind of romanticization that I talk about that happens a lot in our culture. And so we think about, all right, I may step on some toes, I may ruffle feathers. I don't think anything this is sinful or inherently wrong or anything like that. But if you even just think about the way that we think about marriage in our culture, it's all about these super unique ideas that intricately reflect the usness of us and all this, you know what I mean? Like, it, you know, everything's got to be this like perfect little unique snowflake of expression of who we are and our unique love and all this kind of thing. And there's another sense in which, like, you're getting married, you know? Like, a bunch of people have done that a bunch of times. You know what I mean? Like, it's really not that, like, your love is not that special. Like, it's just not that special. Like, you're in love, that's wonderful, but, okay, get married, you know? Say the same vows as everybody else. Go drink some punch. Get on with your life, you know? And so, we're just not, okay, whatever. I know. By the way, I'm not going to say that to Watsy Alexander in several years. You know, we're going to let her have a beautiful little snowflake of a wedding. But if you just think about it, we start to think that, like, the point, it's easy for it in a romanticized culture to feel like the point of marriage is for us to have our one perfect soulmate who just perfectly conjoins with us perfectly, and we no longer have to be lonely again. And even the way we think about and view single people in our culture sometimes is sort of like, oh, that's so sad. You know, they must be so lonely. Well, ultimately, that's not the primary goal of marriage. And one of the things I think in the Lord's church that we would do well to do is to recognize the way that God's called us to community even outside marriage. And I think that would make, you know, singleness a lot easier and loneliness a lot easier. So, I don't think marriage is primarily a cure for loneliness, even though it in so many ways there's a joy to it that there is a lack of loneliness, right? You've got a better shot at it in a lot of ways of not being lonely when you have a companion in marriage. Okay, second of all, marriage isn't primarily about mating or procreating. And Jay Adams has another book called Solving Marriage Problems, another book, a resource I've leaned on a lot over the years. He talks about how he feels like, and I kind of tend to agree, that Roman Catholic Church and then some Christian traditions tend to overemphasize the primacy of procreation in marriage. And he says, you know, gerbils and all kinds of things mate and procreate without marriage. It's very possible. He says many human civilizations are doing a very good job of doing a lot of procreating without marriage. And so so now, do I think that obviously a huge part of why marriage exists is for procreation? Yeah, I do. At the same time, when we make it primarily about that, again, I think we're harming and devaluing, maybe for lack of a better term, single people and people who can't have children. And sort of act, you know, what do they, how do they think about their marriage if they can't have children? And I think that's a wrong-headed way of thinking about it. I think sometimes another thing marriage isn't is just primarily about making sex okay. Which, I've been in student ministry before I was a pastor and just have been around Christian culture a lot over the years. And this is a real issue in how, when I was in high school and college especially, the way we talk to men young men and boys about sex and saving themselves from marriage and that sort of thing. Is it sort of like, basically the only thing when I was in high school and even into college, basically the only thing anybody ever said about marriage is like, just hold on for it, buddy. You're going to be all right, you know, kind of thing. And then I will say too, like the kind of pure, you know what I mean? Like I always say the as someone who's done a lot of premarital counseling with people that have grown up in very Christian spaces and had a lot of conversations with people who, you know, I went to a Baptist college, went to a Baptist seminary, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I realized over time how differently we were talking to young men and young women about sex and marriage. You know, every guy's just like, just buddy, if you'll just wait till you get married, it'll be all right. You know, is how it always is or whatever. And then I've been a pastor long enough to know it's like, those guys are lying. Anyway, it's almost like they're just like, you know, anyway, whatever. And then you talk to women like, young women especially, talk to about sex like, it's the worst thing in the world. You've got to stay as far away from it as possible. It was awful. So then you wind up with these, like, essentially like a freight train and a little precious little deer, you know, hitting the, like, coming in on honeymoon night. I mean, really, you know, and you've got this guy that's just been like, just wait. This girl has been told, and I've seen this happen a bunch of times, where the woman's like, I'm kind of a little afraid, you know, we're worried about what's going on here. You know, he hasn't slept in several days, you know, whatever. Sweating all the time, I don't know what to expect here, you know, whatever. So, I think that, especially the way we talk to young men, I think it's really important to be really careful, and especially how we talk to both, really. That when we talk about marriage, we're not only talking to our young people about it as, in terms of making as an outlet for their burgeoning sex drives.
Yeah.
Is that helpful to say?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, like, I've got so many stories about talking to this is why I didn't want to. I mean, just guys that just, you know, they come in and they've heard all this stuff about just get your honeymoon, everything will be fine, you know, and I remember talking to guys like, hey, your wife might be like tired that day. Like, you just might want to manage your expectations. He's like, what are you talking? I mean, there's like one guy from TZ, what are you talking about, man? She's going to be so thrilled. She can't wait. I'm like, all right, bub. We'll see how it goes. Like, life's all about expectations, you know? We'll see how excited she is. But anyway, and I'm not saying like every woman doesn't have any sex drive, but I'm just saying sometimes it's men tend to build things up in their head, I think, in a way that's not always helpful. So I think we have to be careful about how we talk about marriage in that sense. This is a hard one. Number four, it's not primarily, marriage isn't about our personal needs and wants. I thought this is the hardest one of all, yeah. Right? You know, when I was in high school and college, you would go to like True Love Weights retreat or something like that. Has anybody ever been to True Love Weights? Uh-huh. Anybody ever done True Love Weights?
I feel like it.
Yeah. Brant was really locked in at the True Love Weights retreat. But you know, they would say, all right, get your Bible out and write out all the things you want in a spouse or whatever, like outline your perfect spouse or something like that. And it would sort of be like, don't settle for less than your perfect spouse and all this different kind of stuff. And I feel like a lot of that, while it's well-meaning, I don't want to just dump on Christian culture all the time because, listen, I mean, I can't wait. I'm going to have some preacher boy come out of this church and be like, when I was growing up, my pastor said this. Can you believe, you know, whatever. So I get it. We all have clay feet. No, we're wrong about something. All But I say all that just to say that it can start to feel like, when we're just thinking about our dream spouse all the time, it can start to be all about who's going to be perfect for us and who's going to fulfill our needs and who's going to help us with our wants and all that different kind of thing. And it's not what marriage is primarily about. In fact, if you go into marriage looking to fill a lack of some sort, and for me, a lot of mine was like wanting to be needed, wanting to be helpful. But I came into the ministry with some of those issues too, right? Wanting to be helpful and wanting to be liked and wanting to save things and that kind of stuff. And then, I mean, I would just say not even just coming into marriage, but like we went through seasons of marriage where that was hard, in particular for me. Mm-hmm. You know, Whitney was a stay-at-home mom in our early years of marriage. And so, and then when we were in seminary and everything else, like just kind of our lives, for better or for worse, revolved around what I was doing. I'm in seminary, I'm working toward this, and rightfully so, I think we did this together. We prioritized God's, my call to ministry over everything else. I mean, that was kind of, we saw my call to ministry as a calling for our whole family. Is that a fair way to say that? And so we prioritized that over the years. And then, like, just like in any marriage, you know, in those early years before we have children, like, you're each other's and that's it. And we lived a long way from family and we just had each other. And, you know, we just were able to kind of, it was easier to fulfill each other's needs. And then we had children, which was wonderful, right? But if you've ever had children before, that is more, it turns out, something I wasn't really, I mean, this is how dumb you can be sometimes. I was unprepared for the fact that was going to be more impactful for you than it was for me. Okay? Like, I was just like, well, all right. I mean, you know, we've not slept a ton, but besides that, you know, it's going pretty good, you know? And like, you know, Whitney's over there like this, you know, like, you know, she's like, accidentally puts her cigarette in the baby's mouth. I mean, you know, just, I mean, you know, we're really struggling at this time. And there's tons of things that in those days I didn't realize would be, there's a sense in which I'm making fun of myself, but there's also a sense in which how would I have even dreamed of all the ways that would impact. I mean, I don't think about what that does to you physically, what it does to you spiritually, what it does to you emotionally, hormonally, like all the different things. And then for us, it was sort of like, this happens with a lot of families, and I talk to people about this a lot. Once the second or third child comes in, you're talking about three major waves of that, right? For us, it was three, more or less, or whatever. And so each time the water table gets a little higher.
Yeah.
Do you think this is, am I being fair in how I'm talking about this?
Yeah.
And so we went through a season, I would say a few years, especially right after Jim was born, where we just felt like we were just kind of frictioning against each other a little bit. And I think a huge part of that, and I think I would say this now, I've said this a bunch, a whole lot of that was my sinful expectations and the way that I didn't realize how much I let our marriage be for me primarily about my needs and wants.
Yeah.
And not just sexually either. I mean, not less than that, but more, way more than that.
I think it was worse after Ford, though, than it was after Jim, which I think also is like a testimony to, like, it's not just about quantity of kids.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's different every time.
Yeah, it's different every time. And I think circumstances change that. The circumstances that you were bringing in, like that you were bringing home at that time, were very different than the circumstances you brought home in 2015, 2016.
I was so focused in those, especially after Ford, on just, oh, poor Matt. That's so sad. People wrote a letter. It was mean, you know. And it was hard, and I was sad. I mean, but still, sort of like, I was just so focused on that. I feel like, and then it's like, and she's being mean too, you know, and so it was just a lot of that, I feel like. And so it's not wrong to have needs and wants, right? We all have those things, and it's not wrong to communicate to your spouse, my opinion, like what you need and what you want. That's not wrong, but you can become sinfully preoccupied with it.
But I think what you just said is a big key, and I think that key was missing a lot of times.
Communication.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that there was, like, a very clear, like...
Yeah.
I don't think I was even, like, necessarily very clear when you came home, like, hey, here is my expectation for how this night could be.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Like, I was not.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't think you were...
Great point.
I don't think you were always very clear in, like, hey... This is what I'm bringing. It was always just like...
I was doing this.
It was a scale, too. It's like... Or if there was communication, it was a scale of like... these are all the things that happened to me today. Well, these are all the things
We're like trying
who's
to,
had it the worst, who's had it the you know? Worst. And it's just,
no, I can literally remember saying, like, everything you do is harder than everything I do. I get it. You know,
yeah,
like,
you
like,
just said that recently.
Silly stuff.
Yeah. Like, recently. That's it. Very recently.
It's because it's true. It's still true.
I think that's a good point. Like, that, the laying out of communications and expectations and, if you do have a need, like speaking that, I think is important because your spouse might not even know that's a thing.
That's
and you
right.
might be like total, you know, nobody's home.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and I think we both sat like wishing the other would do something or say something. And I still, and this is maybe a good segue into my number five. But I think we both sit there like, I can't believe she's not even. And the other of us had no clue. I mean,
that's right.
That we were even upset or whatever. You know what I mean? Until like a day later or the next morning or something. And it's like, because she don't care about me, huh? You're like, what are you even talking about? Well, you know? So I think communication is really important. And number five is marriage is not primarily built on romance. And I do mean puppy, like the puppy love kind of stuff, by the way. By the way, I really think a lot of marriages break down because people are chasing the high of early romance. And I am a big romance guy, just so that's clear. Like, I love it. I like coming up with like creative stuff, like all that kind of thing. Like, I love that. So I'm a weird mix of like logical and touchy feely and some, you know, and in other ways. But but marriage is not primarily built on romance, and I don't mean just the puppy love kind of thing. But that sense of which there's almost like a pride or a frustration in, you're not doing what I would be doing right now, therefore I'm frustrated about it.
Yeah.
And we're different types of people, right? And like romance for Whitney is very different than what romance is like for me, and not always in just the obvious ways either. And so that's been a challenge for us over the years, is trying to figure out those things. And guess what else happens? We change over time, which is probably the most frustrating thing about this whole deal, because it feels like once you get it all figured out, we all start changing.
But then you always talk about that quote, like when people will get separated or divorced and they'll say like,
yeah,
he or she's like not the person I married.
So
their response is like, isn't that the point?
That's the point. Yeah. One time I ruined a guy's night one time on accident in Atlanta. We were on an anniversary trip, 10-year anniversary trip here at a restaurant. And there's people like wait staff. We were early at the place and just kind of wait staff doing stuff. And we're talking to them and they're like, what are y'all up to in Atlanta? You know? We're like, yeah, we're here celebrating our anniversary. Like, oh, that's cool. How long have you been married? It was like 10 years. You're like, God, are you serious? Yeah, it's like kind of young people. And they're like, y'all seem young to have been married 10 years. Like, well, how old were you got married? And I was like, I was 22, 21. They're like, whoa, wow. So what cult did y'all grow up in? You know? And like, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. And so we're just, you know, chit chatting. Do what? Trail of weights. Yeah, it was like, whew, Bob says, you know, better to marry than a berm of lust. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, so Whitney was ready to get married, you know? And so, you didn't want to get married. Yeah, we just, you know, anyway. So, we can talk about that at some point, but, long story short, they're like, well, you have any tips
advice.
For us? Any advice? Yeah.
Advice.
And I was like, don't mind if I do, you know? Like, I was like, this is great. Like, I was born. And I was like, well, first of all, you know, we put the Lord in the center of our marriage, and we believe that's really important, that our faith's important to us. And they were like, knew it. And, I'm just kidding. But I was like, we're Christians, and we believe in having a Jesus-centered, Christ-centered marriage. That's really important to us. And then second of all, I was like, and there's like two or three people at this point, like, standing there listening, and I was like, mainly women. And I was like, and another thing is, have you ever heard anybody say, you know, that's not the person I married? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, that's exactly the point of marriage, right? And like, and they were like, oh man. And this one girl goes, I'm going home to tell my boyfriend that tonight. And I was like, that poor fella.
Little did he know, he's getting blindsided. They're still in that fight, you know. long story short, though, what I said is like, if I was still the same as I was when I was 22, right? There's a problem. That's a problem if that's the same person that Whitney married. The point of marriage is for it to last through change. It's not really marriage without it lasting.
Yeah, I don't want to be married to a 22-year-old.
No, you don't. And I would gladly be married to Whitney at any stage of life, but I'm very thankful for this one. Watch and learn, fellas. Anyway, yeah. No, I mean, I love it. Like, I love that we changed. And frankly, and I'll talk about this a little bit at another time, but this is one of the things we kind of realized over time, especially in those seasons. This was a realization that happened for me on the other end of, and we don't want to talk about our sex life the whole time we're here or whatever, but especially on the other end of some of the seasons we went through where your sex drive was different, very different than it had typically been. And a lot of that happens on the other end of childbearing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can remember being so like, and with that came a very like, I've been like touched by kids all day long. I don't want to be touched.
Yeah.
Don't want to engage. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not, I don't mean this critically at all, I promise. Like I get it at this point. I did not then, but I do now. Yeah. And it's on me anyway. You know, I know it was my idea when all this happened. So, it's on me. And, but I can remember thinking like, we have one big fight one time when I was like, I'm just going to quit trying, you know? Like, I'm just going to quit trying to do this. I'm tired. Like, you don't like it. It just makes you mad. Like, the Bible doesn't say that we have to have romance, so why am I being like this about it? Well, it's okay. Like, we'll just be... You were not crazy about that thought, it turned out. And I was being a baby, too. But I remember in the process of that whole conversation, though, it was important for me to, like, I really meant that. Like, just get over yourself. Like, it's fine. But then there was also a sense in which I started realizing, like, no, you idiot. The point is that you don't keep pursuing. Like, this is a very different woman than the woman you pursued 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is a very different situation. You've got to figure out new ways to do this, new ways to pursue her, new ways to develop romance, all those kind of things. And I was just looking for the lazy way out. You know what I mean? Long story short, that was important for me. And I just started realizing that over time, our marriage is built on something deeper and better than romance. And that the point of some of the changes are, and what I felt like as a man was important for me, is to continually refresh what it means to pursue you in the stage we're in right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, finally, marriage isn't like just another relationship, you know? I'm probably going to just do all kinds of things. I think it's good and important to have friendships outside your marriage. I just want to say this really clearly. But I really hate the, like, Saturdays are for the boys kind of stuff, too. Because there's like a subtext of that, which is like...
But Wednesday morning is for the boys, right?
Wednesday morning is for the boys, but yeah. But, but there is a sense, there's like a real... Yeah. Again, I'm not anti having bros you hang with. I'm not anti any of that. But what really irks me is the like, let's get away from the old ball and chain, boy.
Yeah.
You know, I really hate that. I hate it so much. It's so dishonoring to wives, I think. And what it winds up doing is treating a marriage like it's just another relationship. And it's not. It's something special. Something I think we should hold our spouses highly. And I think women do some of the same kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like
caveman. Stupid stuff.
Yeah, let's let's go to the she shed and start the he woman man haters club. Is that what y'all do? So that's what marriage isn't, and I think we can all see that a lot of problems in marriage flow out of us. There might be other things I'm missing, but flow out of us emphasizing something in this list too much,
yeah,
or over making it primary. I mean, because there is a sense in which all these things are true, right? Marriage is a relationship, mm-hmm, among relationships, okay? Marriage...
It's for babies.
It's for babies. It creates children, typically. There's romance involved in marriage. I mean, there's just a lots of things happen there, but that's not what it's primarily about. Yeah. So I'll just say, here's my definition of marriage that I worked out this afternoon based on my studies over the years, studies and experience. It's companionship. I don't want to lose that it is companionship. Mm-hmm. I feel like Ash might underemphasize that aspect a little bit, but it's companionship for the sake of others. All right, that's different. It's not just about us. It's not primarily about us. It's for the sake of others. Yeah. Marriage is companionship for the sake of others. That is uniquely gospel picturing. It's a picture of the gospel. Mission driven. God's given us a purpose as married people, and God glorifying. Okay. Ash defines it like this, which I love. It's probably a better definition, but it's already taken, which is sex in the service of God, which is really great, I think. But I'll just say Ash has more guts than I do, because he's willing to just narrow marriage down to what makes it a unique relationship. And it's just the reality that marriage is marriage because of sexual activity, because of sexual union.
That's what sets it apart.
So, sex in the service of God, he says it in a little more succinct way, but I wanted to flesh it out just a little bit, no pun intended. So, one flesh. Yeah, okay. All right, let me just give a quick, this is like one time I was like, something like, let's talk about, before Brant came, Brant really got this congregation laughing, because he could tell when I was trying to make a joke. And even if it wasn't funny, Brant would throw me a courtesy laugh out. All right? So if you ever go back to like videos when Brant and Katie first came to church, like, I'll make a joke and you literally only hear Brant laughing. It's great. And so, and Brant later would be like, trying to help you out in there, man. Like, I'm doing my best. I saw you in there, man. Like, you know. And one time, like, I'll kind of. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And one time I made like a joke or something, and I was like, that was a joke, y'all. And then later, a lady, if you ask me later who it is, I don't want to put it on. Because she was being funny. She's like, we know that it's a joke. It's just not funny. I was like, okay.
It was me.
So, yeah. No, yeah, right. So, we needed. Anyway, so let me define what I mean by these things, and we'll roll. Companionship. Marriage is a unique relationship that does not solve all of our relational issues. We're created for all kinds of different fellowships, so marriage is not a panacea. It doesn't solve everything. But it is a unique companionship, and it does provide joys and benefits of companionship. There's just a legitimate joy to being married. And some people, I think, are not experiencing joy in their marriage at some given moment, or not experiencing the kind of companionship they want. And so it's sort of like, man, this isn't worth it. But that's the point, is to try to figure that out. I mean, I think there'd be seasons where both of us felt like the companionship level was not what we wished for.
Yeah.
Or that it was broken or whatever. Yeah. But that's the point, right? And I would say our companionship is richer and sweeter now, having had those seasons where it was not as rich and sweet. You know what I mean? It's formed and shaped who we are as a married couple now. And I mentioned this earlier, but I think bears repeating it. Learning to pursue Whitney at every age and stage has been, and realizing that has been a joy for me. And better in the long run, I've realized, than the selfish and boring expectation that I would just always and forever be the center of her universe. My apple of her eye. But I'm not the center of our universe, and that's a good thing. So that becomes selfish and boring, right? And I think that's the other thing, is like, I think one challenge in marriage is that we often expect our spouse to just be a mirror of us. Mm-hmm. If we're in the mood for whatever, they should be in the mood for whatever. If we're going through a season where we're more amorous than another, they should be in the same season. But the pursuit and the challenge of it all. I mean, you read the way the Bible talks about marriage. I mean, you read Song of Solomon. I don't know if y'all have read that book since middle school, but it's worth reading. And you can read that, then you're in the True Love Waits program. And you're just like, whew, man, all right. But you read that, and it talks about like two deers kind of chasing each other and things like that. There's a hunting theme in there and things like that. So there's a real sense in which figuring some of that out is part of the joy and fun of marriage. Yeah. And and I think having to figure those things out makes it more exciting and better in the long run. Then if it's just like us, it just gets boring really quickly.
That's right.
Yeah. It's like those dog bowls that your dog has to work to get their food, you know? All right. It's exactly that. Marriage is like a dog bowl. All right.
Not the normal kind.
It's companionship, and that's a very important part. But it's for the sake of others. First of all, for the other spouse. I think we approach our marriage thinking, how can I serve rather than how can I be served?
Yeah.
How can I love? How can I help? How can I? I think somebody around along the way said something like, instead of right now, well, our perfect spouse should be in the back of our Bible, we should be thinking through what would make us a better person and better spouse. And that was an important kind of switch for me early in our marriage. Is I quit trying to think through like we've all done this. If she would just do this, I think I could be a better husband, you know.
Yeah.
And that'll do it, you know. And that's always the reason we're not better people, right? Because of something somebody else has done. Yeah. That's why I don't have money for a drill right now, because of something other people have done. Anyway. So. I think for the sake of others, first you think about the other spouse. Being a better spouse is more important than trying to make your spouse a better spouse. Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Way to say that?
Yeah, for sure.
And then for your children, I mean, it's to serve your family and then the community as well. Our marriages are meant to serve society in a broader way, I think, and our church. Their gospel picturing, and we're going to flesh this out as the semester goes on. The marriage relationship, and I think this maybe is one thing no book does as well as it could, is flesh out what a beautiful picture marriage is of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You read Ephesians 5, I mean, there's a reason, that there is a mystery, Paul says, to marriage that's beyond any of, that transcends all these things. And it's that it's a picture of Christ's love for his church. And we'll talk about that. I won't get going on that, or we'll be here all night. But that's the beauty of marriage. I mean, and anyway, so... And then ultimately, it's God glorifying as well. Marriage is God's. He's our primary focus in marriage as in life. So ultimately, if you think about it, if you're coming into marriage for X, Y, or Z, then you're asking your spouse to be God for you. Right? Because there are things, if you're coming in to be fulfilled or to be satisfied or to be not lonely or whatever it is, for perfect companionship. Same with our kids, right? If we're coming to our children for fulfillment, we're asking our kids to do something nobody can do. You can't even do that for yourself, right? So what an unbelievable expectation we're putting on somebody that really only God can do that. Only God can fulfill. Only God can do that. So like when Whitney was, struggling with some things early in her marriage about, just some issues with some men in her life historically and everything else, and I was like... Biblical manhood time, baby. We're going to fix that. And then all of a sudden I realized, like, only one person fixes this, and it's not me. And then when you start having these expectations, you're putting your spouse on a pedestal, and you're asking them to do something only God can do. And so marriage is ultimately God glorifying, and God has to be the center of our marriages, or something else will be. And even if it's everything's going well, you've got an idolatrous situation on your hand, and it won't go well for long. It won't go well forever. But we have to be real careful to be sure that we don't have outsized expectations that try to make marriage or our spouse something they aren't.
Yeah.
Is that helpful? Yeah. Way to say that? Do you have anything to add to that?
I don't think so. Nothing specific.
Cool.
Matt,
yeah.
Could I ask you something, please?
Sure. Let's do this. We're going to do Q&A. I'm going to cut off the recorder just in case anybody's got